Chapter 22. Listening time is approximately 26 minutes. Let's take a look at verses 1 through 5.
Chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever.
In chapter 22, the first 5 verses actually belong to chapter 21, because it's a continuation of the description of the city of Jerusalem, the new city. We have a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, flowing down Main Street. It's interesting, we have Main Street in the New Jerusalem. Again, we have the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, a different kind each month. Now, what are these trees for? And what's this fruit for? Well, the Bible explains that the leaves of the tree of life will be used for the healing of the nations. What are the healing of the nations? Remember, there will be people going into the millennium in the flesh. They will have children, and those children will have a choice of receiving the Lord or not, just as we have today, except Satan has been bound for that 1,000 years. So as far as the new heaven and the new earth, a lot of this has to really be conjecture. But if you have people in the flesh who did not receive a glorified body, they're going to be like Adam and Eve. They're going to have this tree of life. So whether this is totally spiritual, a figurative picture, or it's literal. I believe there was a literal tree, but exactly how it's being used. So it will have something to do with probably maintaining a lifespan for eternity, or some of these people could die in eternity and cease to exist. We're not really sure about all these things. But regardless, nothing will be cursed. Now we have the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb that will be there. That's combining the throne from the millennium with the throne in heaven. What are people going to be doing? What are we going to be doing if you're a believer? We're going to be worshiping. It's so interesting that we have all these different types of worship services in our churches. And yet there's going to be one central worship service. And you're not going to be able to go to complain whether you don't like this or don't like that. You're going to be able to praise God as he really should be praised. And I believe we'll be able to sing totally on pitch like we've never sung before. What does it mean when it says that people will see his face? Now remember, Jesus Christ, because of being in the flesh, people were able to see his face even after he had a glorified body. And resurrected, people were able to see his face. So now we're talking about God the Father. Remember, spirit does have form. And so we're going to have the presence of all three of the Trinity in this new heaven and earth. Now his name is going to be written on our foreheads. Foreheads of all the believers. And what will that name be? Remember, we're all receiving a new name. But it's just going to remind us that we are his. Whether this is something that is supernatural or something that is literal. We don't really know that for sure. It says there will be no night, lamps or sun will not be necessary. Now we're speaking about the city of Jerusalem here. We're not speaking about the earth itself. It doesn't say a lot about that. It mainly talks about the New Jerusalem. Remember, this is a second New Jerusalem now. We had a New Jerusalem during the millennium. And now we have this new Jerusalem in the new heaven and earth. There are going to be some great similarities, of course, between them. And why don't we need this light? Well, because the face of the Lord is going to illuminate the entire city of Jerusalem. We see examples of this in the Old Testament. When Moses had this experience with God on the mountain, with the burning bush situation, and he came down, his face was covered because it shone so brightly. And that was just reflecting the glory of God. Because remember, he was in the burning bush. that was the spirit form of Jesus Christ, if you read the Hebrew. And then what are the believers going to do? The church age people and the Old Testament saints, they're going to rule with God forever and ever. Praise God for that. Let's take a look at verses 6 and 7.
The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book."
So what we have here in verses 6 and 7 is God's validation. What did this angel say? He said that the words that he's about to share are trustworthy. Jesus said he was coming soon. And blessed are those who obey what is written in the scroll. Now remember, soon in the scriptures, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. It's soon to God because he looks at it from an eternal point of view. He said, what is written in the scroll? Remember, we studied scroll in detail. There's that scroll that was in heaven where the various judgments have been taken out of, the sealed judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. And then there's just the scroll, meaning the letters of the seven churches were written on paper, which was rolled up. And so in those days, they referred to it as a scroll. So the Bible was actually written in scrolls before the format that we have it in today. So what he's really talking about there, what's written here now in Revelation chapter 22. Let's read verses 8 and 9.
I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God."
In these verses, we have a discussion of improper worship. What happened here? John fell down and worshiped the angel. Now, this is not the angel of the Lord now, Jesus Christ. This is a literal angel. Of course, John was very surprised when this angel came to visit after all these things that were going on and very taken by the experience. But what did the angel say to John? He rebukes him. He said, "Don't worship me. All who obey what is written in the scroll worship God." Here he's talking about the scroll again. What he's referring to here is probably the entire scriptures, but certainly the book of Revelation. Let's read verses 10 through 13.
Then he told me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end."
In these verses, we have a direction for now and when he comes. What does he say? Do not seal up the prophetic words. The time is near. And what time is he referring to? And what does he mean by the prophetic words? There are different translations on this. Prophetic means foretelling, future. So those prophecies that have not been yet revealed. And of course, we're talking about much of Revelation, chapter 4 through 22, but with the millennium in chapter 20 and the new heaven and the new earth in chapters 21 and 22 could be specially emphasized. But I believe he's referring to all prophecy. And then he says something very interesting. Let the one who is doing wrong continue doing wrong. Why would the Lord say this? Because he looks at our heart. So if our actions are wrong and our heart is wrong, then that's the way it ought to be. So God's not playing games here. He's talking to us now today, as well as the first century Christians when they received the book of Revelation and people throughout history. If this is the way you're going to be, then be fine. like in the last church, the Laodicean church, if you're going to be lukewarm, God's not interested. He said it'd be better to be cold or hot, meaning towards Him. So if you're going to go off on your own, then fine, just stay that way. See, we're getting down to the very end here, where He's revealing the new heaven and the earth, so there isn't going to be any time to make a change. And then He says, let the one who is vile continue to be vile. So I think God is really saying here, don't be phony. But then the next one is, let the one who is good continue to do good. Now notice this very carefully here. It didn't say, the one who is doing good continue doing good. He said, the one who is good. See, our relationship with Christ is the issue here. And so good or righteous, holy, just, all of these. Of course, a person would be loving as well and gracious and merciful to other people. So if a person is good, the outcome is going to be good. It's a heart issue again. Let the one who is holy continue to be holy. Let the one who is holy continue in holiness. He is coming soon. Now remember, this was written many, many centuries ago. And as I said before, that soon to God is very different than soon to us. When you look at eternity, it is soon. And of course, as far as the rapture is concerned, it could be at any moment after His ascension. Then He said the rewards are with Him. Now, what rewards are these going to be? There have been judgments for rewards, then the beam of judgment. So in other words, He's going to bring that with the people He's bringing back. Remember, He brings the church, the people that were in heaven at the time of the tribulation, He brings back. He's also bringing people from the millennium into the new heaven and new earth, and that's what this is referring to. So He explains it in more detail. He said He's coming to repay all according to their deeds. So Jesus brings rewards. So today, when we think about, it doesn't matter what we do, especially as a believer, it does have eternal consequences. He repeats again that He is the Alpha and the Omega, first and last, and beginning and end. Unfortunately, we think of beginning at an actual starting point, and we think of an end as an ending point. But what He's really saying here is that He's all in all. Jesus existed before the creation, and He's certainly going to be existing after the new heaven and the earth begins. It's eternity. We can't really understand this as human beings. I like to look at it that it's really all in all. It is Jesus first and foremost. He has the first word, and He's going to have the last word. Let's read verses 14 and 15 and see what the blessings are.
Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood.
So what are these blessings? And what is the timeline it's referring to? Blessed are those who wash their robes, so they can enter the gates of the city and eat from the tree of life. So who are those? And what city is it referring to? What does it mean to wash their robes? Why do they have to wash their robes first before entering the city? What is the tree of life? And why do they need to eat of the tree of life? These are some very interesting questions. And we have to use inference here. But the most important thing is to what group is referring to. He's certainly referring to the people that are reading Revelation at the time that Revelation was written. He's also referring to John here and all the people in the first century church and since then. If you have been saved, you have washed your robe in the blood of Christ. So these blessings are for the redeemed. So what does it mean then? That you will be welcome in the city of Jerusalem. Why would the robes have to be washed first? Well, you wouldn't be saved. But there are some very critical other points that there are these people outside the city in these nations. And these leaves on these trees, the tree of life, there are 12 of them, are going to be used for the healing of the nations. We've referred to that before. So whether they need to eat of this tree in order to maintain life, just as we had the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. But I think there's a real spiritual message here, and I think that's the important thing, because figuratively speaking, now Jesus is the tree of life. It is through Jesus that we're going to be able to enter this gate of Jerusalem. But we also see that he is pictured as the gate to this narrow path that leads to eternal life. It's through Christ, in other words. It's the cross. It's another picture of the gospel being presented. But there could also be some literal meanings for people that are outside the city. Let's take a look at then the description of those outside the city, and maybe we can get it into some context. What's the difference then between those in the city and those that are outside the city? Well, he said those outside are like dogs. And what are these dogs doing? And there's a whole list of things that are very, very sinful. Witchcraft, idolatry, and all that. Doesn't sound like something that in the new heaven and the new earth. We're getting to the very close of Revelation. And John is going to be completing this. And these angels are going to help to deliver this message. But literally, they have to have the scrolls for these letters to the seven churches to go out as well. So whether they all got the entire book of Revelation to these seven churches, or they got their letter and then the rest of the book of Revelation minus the other letters, we aren't certain about that. What I believe this is referring to is a warning that there are going to be those outside of God. I think this is real spiritual here too. It may have some literal meanings that we'd have to conjecture with, but I don't think we do the spiritual. Because outside the Christian life, what do we have? We have people around us who are not of God, and he refers to them as being dogs. And dogs in that day would be like scavengers. I mean, we read about the dogs licking up the blood of somebody who had been killed and things of this nature. It doesn't mean your pet the dog is a bad thing. So we have a picture here that there are people that are going to want to devour these words and not to take heed to them, but to try and get rid of them, to ridicule them, to stop it. And of course, Satan is behind this. We see this going on this very day. How many people in churches, including the pastors, know anything about Revelation or even care about Revelation? I've been in a church Bible study where the pastor's wife said she didn't believe in Revelation at all, and even the Old Testament she didn't think was relative to being a Christian today. How deceived can we be? Let's read verses 16 through 20. This is a final message from Jesus Christ.
I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life, and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
So what does Jesus have to say in his final message? That this is for the churches. Now, certainly it's for those seven churches, but churches of all time. But also you can put your name in there. It's for you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Then he says that he's the source of David, meaning the root of David. He's also referred to as the root of Jesse. This refers to his physical heritage. You remember that David's father was Jesse. So sometimes it refers to the root of Jesse. Here it's saying David. And of course, the house of David, and that is where all this is coming together now, as we saw in the millennium, to the house of David, the throne of David. And now all that's being combined here in the new heaven and earth with the throne of God from heaven. Then he says he's the heir to the throne. We not only have the house of David, the lineage, but we have the throne. And he would be the legal heir to that. And there's a whole study on that aspect alone. Then he says that he's the bright morning star. Now, this is figurative. When he says he's a bright morning star, he's referring to the fact that Jesus is beautiful, his character, to see him in his glorified body and with his crown and all these things that have happened through the millennium and now coming to the new heaven and earth. We see God in his totalness. Then from the Spirit and the bride, come. This is an invitation. Invitation for who? For those now that are still living. If you have not been saved, Jesus is saying, come on to me. If you have been saved, he's speaking future now, there will be a time when he's going to say, come. Of course, when you pass on, that could be another example of that. But it's really an invitation to join him in this new heaven and earth. He says, and then he identifies which ones in particular, those who are thirsty. Do you really thirst for the word of God, Jesus Christ? And what he has given to us? Or do you just go about doing what you feel like doing? Do you really have a hunger and a thirst for God? Do you really desire God? You know, we really need to search our own heart here. Certainly God, through the Holy Spirit, is willing to do that. But in Proverbs it says what? Search me, O Lord, that I may know my ways. Sometimes we live in total ignorance and denial. Anyone who wants to come. This certainly is a verse that goes against those that are totally into the predestination, the Calvinist view, that God has only elected certain people for salvation. That he created people for hell and he created people for heaven. I don't believe that's biblical at all. Remember, hell was created for Satan and the fallen angels and then the Antichrist and false prophet because they joined Satan would be going there as well. Then he says to them, come and drink the water of life without charge. Jesus paid the price, so it's free. Sometimes when things are free, we don't put any value to them, do we? And then he ends with a warning in this section. And I think this is something that we really need to pay attention to. And the warning is to anybody who hears the prophetic words of this book. Now, I believe that this could be interpreted as being the book of Revelation, or the entire scriptures, as this ends the scriptures. I like to take it as a total of scriptures, but especially for Revelation. So if you're studying Revelation now, this directly applies to you because you've already been involved. You've heard the prophetic words. So what does he say? If you add to the words of this book, what is God going to do? He's going to send the plagues written in this book. And there are many, many plagues. Now, certainly he's not going to drop an atomic bomb on you and all those sort of things. But it does mean that God takes this very seriously. I think that's the point here. Now, how about if anybody takes away from the words of this book? What's God going to do? This person is going to lose his share of the tree of life and the holy city. And the holy city that is described in this book. And, of course, that's referring to Jerusalem. Well, our final verse is 21. The very end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. Let's read it.
The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.
I'd like to entitle it, The Faithful Witness to All These Things. What things? All the things in Revelation, not just what we want to pick and choose. So what does he say? He repeats again, I am coming soon. In other words, let's get alert here. Let's not take this for granted. Let's not assume that we're going to have time and time and time. There will come a time, even in our own life, when our life ends. Then he says, I pray it be. Amen. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. The very end, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. So this is what John is ending it with. It is through grace that we can inherit all that God has promised us in the book of Revelation. Or else, we're going to reap the results that the other people are going to receive. So what is it going to be? The choice is yours. If you haven't made the choice, now is the time. And if you have made the choice, and you're truly born again, then maybe you really need to dedicate your life seriously to the Lord. In other words, to be really committed. How committed are you? Do you really look at things in the perspective that the Lord has given us? Or do we look at it through the lenses that the world has given us? I pray it be the first. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you and glorify you that you've given us this awesome book of Revelation, Lord. A very difficult study in many ways, Lord, but as the Holy Spirit illuminates, it is so wonderful to see the truth of your word, Father. But I do pray that if there's anything that is not of you, Father, that you will remove it in the minds of people as they study this and read it, Lord. And I pray that they have taken an active role, just not sat back, but actually had their Bible and had their study guide out, Father, and take an active part in this. If we're not an active listener, Lord, it's not going to do very much. It shows that we're really not committed. We're just sitting back and being all relaxed and just listening to something, maybe for entertainment. But we're never going to remember it because it doesn't get from our mind into our heart and then work its way out. And that's what you're all about, Lord. You want it to be in our heart, and then you want us to live it out in our lives. So I pray, Lord, come quickly. Maranatha. Amen.